if they adopt to the foster mom, they would get their, you know, 4E funding, which is a lot of money for them and for the, probably for the judge, for the foster mom. Versus if they adopt to me, me being a first cousin, I fall into a relative status and they would not get their funding because it would be a relative adoption and it wouldn't go through their foster care funding.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Conversations That Matter. I'm your host, Alex Newman. With us today, a special guest, Rachel Templeton. She has a very, very interesting story. I'll tell you a little bit of it, and she can flesh out the details. She and her husband had a pre-existing adoption agreement signed in September of 2021 with the mother of a baby, baby Lily. And when Lily was born, they were supposed to adopt the baby. Instead, the CPS, the Child Welfare Services in Idaho, came in, grabbed the baby, and put her with a foster mother who is now trying to adopt this child. And of course, there's big money involved here. The government system is going to get some nice funding if they manage to adopt this child out to the foster mother, but not to Rachel and her husband, Trevor. Rachel, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for joining us. It seems like these financial incentives within the child welfare industry are causing all sorts of problems. Give us an overview of what happened with you, your husband, and baby Lily.
Okay, thanks for having me on. So basically, it's like what Alex said, you know, when my cousin went into the hospital, we already had a pre-existing adoption. And when she was born, CPS came, took custody, didn't really have a good reason to take custody, but did, and called the adoption mother right away, or foster mother right away to the hospital. And in long term, when we finally got a hold of someone, about a week after nobody answered the phone from CPS, they said that we were no longer needed and that we would have to get in line. And fast forward throughout the entire year, we've been fighting CPS on the adoption. It's if they adopt to the foster mom, they would get their, you know, 4E funding, which is a lot of money for them and for the probably for the judge, for the foster mom. Versus if they adopt to me, me being a first cousin, I fall into a relative status and they would not get their funding because it would be a relative adoption and it wouldn't go through their foster care funding, you know, adoptions act or whatever. So we've been fighting for the last year. We've had to hire 4 attorneys, 2 in Idaho and 2 in Indiana to fight this. And now it's going to the appellate court. They've filed appeals on CPS's and the court's family court's decision on dismissing our adoption in Idaho. And they've also dismissed my cousin and her attorney filed for a dismissal of the case, of the CPS case. And Judge Eckhart decided to dismiss that as well. So now we still have an adoption in Indiana that's open. And so they're going to file a petition of termination on my cousin for the Indiana adoption. So that's pretty much where we're at right now. We're down in this over $100,000 worth of attorney fees that we are in right now. And it's just climbing. I mean, you know, and CPS, I think they feel that if they just keep pushing and keep, the longer it goes, the deeper we are in, you know, I don't want to say debt, but I mean, we're, you know, spending a lot of money on this. And I mean, I think they're getting the feeling like we're just going to quit and give up and then they win, you know, type of thing. So it is going to a different higher court now. And as of yesterday, a new attorney general took office in Idaho. So we're really hoping and praying that he will, you know, step in and correct these things because it never should have went this far. You know, when they saw the adoption agreement, which may I add, the attorney for CPS, Denise Rosen, she actually had the adoption agreement and all of the legal paperwork on her desk. And she saw them and she sent an email to my then attorney and acknowledged this was only 11 days after they took Lily into custody and said, it's a shame that this private adoption was interrupted by a CPS case, but now it's going to have to wind its way down through the system.
So the Deputy Attorney General, if I understand correctly, Denise Rosen, actually admitted in a meeting with you guys and your attorney that this really was about money. That's what we're dealing with here.
Yes.
Ultimately,
yes.
They just want the funding. Huh? Let's go to break real quick. And when we get back on the other side, let's talk about this money, the perverse incentives that it causes, and much more. We'll be right back, folks.
Imprisonment, forced labor, permanent separation from my family, perhaps death. I knew what could happen to people who were caught trying to defect. But the watchtowers stood yards away. The possibility of a new life in a different world, one without tyranny, was within sight. The West. I thought of the rewards no longer crushed under the boot of communism. I would work and make money, no longer restrained by the chains of collectivism. I would say what I wanted, without fear of spies and informants nearby. I would be free. The frozen rain and Romanian mud seeped through my gloves and cloths. I fantasized about a fire burning in the wood stove of my parents' home, but I pushed those thoughts from my mind, closed my eyes, and waited for the cover of the darkness.
Get Defector, a true story of tyranny, liberty, and purpose by Mark Hobovkovich with Paul Dragoo, a thrilling page-turner that will remind you how precious yet vulnerable freedom is. Available at shopjbs.org or Amazon. For a limited time, get 20% off your entire order using promo code DEFECTOR20 when you purchase Defector at shopjbs.org.
All righty, welcome back. Alex Newman here, Conversations That Matter. Our guest today is Rachel Templeton. She was supposed to be adopting baby Lily. The birth mother signed papers ensuring that this baby would go to Rachel and her husband. And the CPS intervened, jumped in, grabbed the baby, and now they are fighting tooth and nail, causing this family to spend $100,000 so far, if I understand correctly. Rachel, talk a little bit about the monetary incentives here for the CPS's involvement. What are they hoping to get out of this, and where is this money coming from? What's the deal here?
So what they will be getting is what they call the Foster Cares Act. It's a federal act. Title IV funding is... it's a, you know, what it is awarded the foster mother and CPS get a certain amount of money if they process an adoption throughout the year. And basically what it's based off of is no matter, say last year, they had so many adoptions, foster care adoptions, right? Well, they try to top every year after because it the funding doubles on each adoption that they have over each year. So if they had, you know, 100 adoptions last year, and then they, you know, try to top that, they would just get even more money, you know, after in the next year or so. And I feel like they've been prolonging this. They've been pushing this off and trying to find everything they possibly can to, meet their deadline per se, or their, you know, quota on foster care funding. And that's what it's all about. Denise Rosen admitted to me, you know, in that meeting that it's not an adoption issue. It's a foster care issue. And it depends on 4E funding. That was her wording exactly. And, you know, they don't care about the children at all. And they've made a point to me to, you know, they've made that point to everyone. I mean, even the CASA worker and his attorney, he admitted in an email to another attorney, to my attorney actually, that that he doesn't care about the kid. That's what he called Lily, the kid. That if, you know, they gave Lily to me, she would be on the street. Her mom is in jail, and that he cares more about the legal squabble. That was his wording.
Rachel, where does this go from here? Do you guys have any finish line in mind? Do you have any thoughts or ideas about what may be coming next? And is there anything people out there can do, beyond just praying for you guys and the baby?
Well, As far as a finish line, I mean, you know, when we signed the adoption agreement, you know, taking on it, we never had a doubt. You know what I mean? We just knew when we were asked to adopt Lily. And at the time, we didn't even know it was a girl. She just, you know, she wanted us to adopt her baby. And we said, you know, yes, we would, regardless if it was, you know, whatever, a girl or a boy. And so we, you know, we said yes, without a doubt. We didn't even have to, you know, we wanted her to think about it because that's a big decision. But as far as a, like a timeline, I mean, you know, there's $100,000 is a lot of money, but there's no amount of money that can you can put on a child's life. You know, I don't care what the state says, and you know, they've said a lot of things about me and made me out to be the bad guy, of course, and my husband, and said, you know, we're not good enough, or you know, whatever. They've called me a bootstrapper at one point, and I actually found that a compliment, but I guess she was meaning it as an insult. But as far as how you can help, so we do have a Gifts and Go. It's a giftsandgo.com/bringbabylilyhome. You know, prayers are always appreciated, but I mean, honestly, we do need help with the attorney fees. I mean, you know, we're struggling, but we're going to keep fighting because we love Lily and it's what's right. You know, we signed an agreement. I gave my cousin my word that I would do it. And we had everything in place, the background checks and home study and everything. And it still wasn't good enough for the state. Yeah. You know, they're going against their own guidelines, which they don't follow anyway. You know, they're violating my cousin's rights on so many levels. They're violating our rights as family. I mean, it's just a total violation, an overstep of power.
Well, and then maybe the new attorney general in Idaho, Raul Labrador, can find out what was going on here. I understand he's a man of courage and principles. And so let's see what happens. Rachel, before we let you go, any thoughts on some reforms, legislative or regulatory reforms to protect families from having to go through this in the future?
Yes. So I really think that it should not, you know, they should not be allowed to come in and just have, there's a word for it, but unlimited power. There should be some type of law in place that prevents them from doing that. And then they should be held accountable for when they are wrong. Instead of having, you know, oh, well, I have immunity, so I can do whatever I want. I mean, it shouldn't be that way until you get to a higher court. And then, you know, the higher judges can say, well, you shouldn't have done that. And you will be held accountable. I mean, in family court, the judge shouldn't be on the state side just because either they're lazy or, you know, they're bought off or whatever. I mean, there should be some type of reform. I mean, their reasoning, first they said my cousin was on drugs, which was a lie. After reviewing the medical records, which she said in her records that Lily was being adopted, which is another confirmation that she was being adopted by me, it says that she was on Suboxone because she does have an addiction problem, but she was taking care of it. You know, she went and she got the appropriate medication and she was on Suboxone when she had Lily. There was no illegal drugs in her system, but they came in and tried to use that against her. I mean, I think that there should be some type of law that says, you know, if you're on a prescribed medication, they can't use that against you to take your children. Yeah. If you're working on it and you're working, you know, and I think another good legislation bill would be to, you know, not allow a foster mom to come in and automatically decide, I'm going to adopt this child, and it doesn't matter if the family's fighting for her or him or whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm going to adopt this child anyway. And then the state aids that. The state is supposed to help get families back together. They're not supposed to aid foster parents who can't have kids or want more kids or whatever, or want the money. They should be helping families stay together and reunite just like they're supposed to.
Well, Rachel, we appreciate you coming on the show today and sharing your insights. Thank you for staying in the fight, even though we know it's tough. Thank you very much. Keep us updated. Hopefully we'll get you back with some good news. And thanks again, Rachel. All right, folks, I'm Alex Newman. Thank you, Rachel. I'm Alex Newman. This is Conversations That Matter. Until next time, God bless you all.
They say I'm part of a global plan. I don't think so. It's too hot, it's too cold. You know what? The weather changes.
Here's the news, Dad.
Nope. It's hard to tell what's real and what's fake these days.
Ditch the fake news and always get the truth. Go to thenewamerican.com.